What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 9th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. We return. The return of us.
It's how it is, man.
Feels like it's been a long
time.
Does
it? I
guess it was Monday.
Yeah. It just feels Monday like so feels, much has happened.
Yeah. Whenever I have to host the show, it makes the week feel a lot longer and more intimidating.
We have to work for a change.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot. It's scary. It's hard. Don't like it one bit. I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah?
Second LaCroix of the day.
Oh, that's the best one, they say. That's the one they really, you know, think that sings and really brings home the flavors for you.
You're right.
Last night, I had something. You do this thing every Thanksgiving-ish.
Yes.
Where you and your high school friends get back together and play video
Kurt's
games.
Birthday.
And, Last night, I had Grimecraft and Kevin over for Monster Hunter, and we played till 12:30, and it was the most seventh grade sleepover I've had since seventh grade.
Fantastic. There's something special.
Kevin was in a pair of my pajama shorts over there, just laying on his belly, playing, looking at the little screen. Grimey's next to me on the couch. Jen made cookies. It was very, very interesting. A very good night.
Tomorrow, I'm actually doing a mini version for the first time ever of that scenario, where a very small group of that friend group is going to come to my house for the first time. And we're going to play a bunch of local multiplayer games. And I'm very excited because there's a whole bunch of games we learned about from Party Mode.
Sure.
Whether it was like, you know, Nidhogg or from our Let's Plays, whatever.
No,
Nidhogg or Gang Beasts or Starwall.
Sure.
Or like those type of games, right? And they've never heard of them, played them. We're going to have a blang up tang. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, a blame up tame is what you said.
Blang up
you mean
time.
A bang up time? Is that
no,
what you're trying to say?
Bang, but also with a blast. When you combine the two, that's what you get.
Say it again?
Blang up time.
That's not real. That's you fucked up and you're trying to cover it, right?
Not true.
Really?
No, I fucked up.
Okay. You had me for a second.
Dude, there's so many times I do that, but then you guys end up believing me that I meant what I
Well, it's like your brother's just introducing new stuff all the time.
You're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you need to be part of the show. Write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, concerns, reviews, bad PSN names, anything else you want to send in. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, remember, we're making a podcast for the masses, which means we don't look at the chat. If you want to be part of the show there, we need your help keeping us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up live as we say it so we can set the record straight for everyone watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. If you like what we do, if we're doing a good job with Kinda Funny Games Daily, consider heading over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck or more. You get all sorts of bonuses like the PlayStation VR show, which we are filming the second half of today, right after this. Lots of things happening over there. News on a release date for you soon. Very soon, some would say. Also, remember today, we're sponsored by Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! It threw me off because Joey leaned in to do it, but then Kevin ran into the room to do it too. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
And now Kevin's just... Oh, geez, Louise. God, he's terrifying.
He's Kevin.
Number one, it looks like Bandai Namco is working on Metroid Prime 4. This is via Eurogamer. Internet rumors this week pegged Bandai Namco as being the mystery studio behind Metroid Prime 4, something multiple sources have now confirmed to Eurogame as being accurate. Specifically, the highly anticipated Nintendo Switch exclusive is being developed by Bandai Namco Studios Singapore, which we understand is lead studio on the game in collaboration with Nintendo. This studio houses some former LucasArts Singapore staff who previously worked on, among other things, the ambitious canceled Star Wars 1313. We're jumping around now, talking about rumors, catching up on Metroid Prime 4.
We talked about a lot of this on the Wednesday show.
Gotcha.
With me and Gary, when it was still... less rumors without Eurogamer being like, yo, it's true, bro.
Sure. To recap then at the end here, in particular, Press Start noted how Bandai Namco Studios Singapore staff members had not tried very hard to conceal that they were working on something exciting. Looking through their profiles, I saw staff saying they were working on a secret game, an ambitious AAA title, a very interesting unannounced project, and a game which will see more exciting details announced soon, parentheses, or later. One staff member in particular, a lead designer, described themselves as working on an unannounced IP, parentheses, first-person shooter adventure exclusive to the Nintendo Switch. This staff member also listed themselves as overseeing work on an exclusive Ridge Racer 8 for Switch 2, something Eurogamer has yet to verify. How do you feel about this?
Super stoked about most of it. We talked about it on Wednesday. Pretty in-depth. Like, there's no real new information here. If you listen to Wednesday's show,
it's the Eurogamer.
Except Eurogamer and Eurogamer, you know, they're kind of legit when it comes to this type of thing. In terms of Ridge Racer, I'm very excited for that. It's been way too long since I played a Ridge Racer, and I fell in love with the PSP version many years ago, many moons ago. And I feel like it'd be right at home on Switch for some fun drift in action.
Sure.
In terms of Metroid, you know, there's a lot going on here. When Metroid Prime was coming back, it was such a big deal. It was the first entry in the Metroid franchise since the Super Nintendo. It totally skipped out on the N64. The only Samus action you got was Super Smash Brothers.
Sure.
So when it was announced that Metroid is coming as a first-person game, shooter, adventure, whatever you want to call it, being made by a totally unknown studio named Retro Studios, everyone was like, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense. An American unknown studio is going to work on one of Nintendo's most beloved IPs of all time.
Sure.
And that turned out very well, right? And, you know, Metroid Prime 1 undeniably is a masterpiece. Metroid Prime 2 and 3 are, it's more of the same, and they tried some different things, and not everybody loves them equally, but both of them, at least good games, if not great games. So it's been a while. There's been some missteps. Other M, Prime Hunters is weird, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Federation Force and all that. Prime 4, very, very, very big deal. Obviously, Samus Returns was a hit. But what's interesting here is it's going back to
outside
the Western hemisphere. Like, dealing with another new team that hasn't really done anything together. This is like them forming the Avengers over there.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about the Lucasfilms ideas. The Star Wars 1313. Sure. You take the space opera, you take Metroid, you put them together, and that sounds like something that I'm very interested in. Like I was telling Gary, I don't think this game's going to end up being called Metroid Prime 4.
Really?
I do think that it'd be a very wise decision for them to have this be essentially a soft reboot of the Metroid franchise. There's a ton of people that missed out on it. There's people like Andrea that never really got into it, and I think that it could be like so many other franchises on the Switch, people's first time. We talk a lot about things like Persona 4 being people's, or Persona 4 Golden being the gateway drug to Persona, because everybody was talking about it.
Suddenly you know what it is.
And then when Persona 5 came out, everyone's like, well, I'm going to do this. I feel like Metroid Prime, even though Metroid's been a franchise that everybody's known forever, I think this upcoming one on the Switch, when everyone's positive about Nintendo hardware for the first time in my adult life, I think it might be the jumping on point. I think that Nintendo knows they can't fuck this one up, so I don't know. It's weird. Bandai, out of all people, they wouldn't be the team.
But they did Smash
at.
Right? Like they handled
that's
that
the
with
thing
well.
Is they handled well. It when that news was first revealed. I was devastated.
Yeah,
honestly, you know, Bandai has a pedigree in fighting games.
Oh sure,
but Smash means so much to me, and I know what Smash is, and I don't want it to change. And there was always the risk that it was going to change dramatically in a way that I'm like, well, this isn't even the same game. When it went to Melee, obviously that was great, but when it went over to the Wii with Brawl, there was the fear. It's like, are they going to add motion controls? Like, they did, but are they going to make the game about
totally
motion
different
controls?
Yeah,
is it going to totally shift? And when it went over to the Wii U, there was that other fear of like, what are they going to do? Are they going to change the gameplay? Is it not going to play the same? And I feel like Bandai coming in made me be like, oh man, they're really going to tweak this. They're going to make a totally different style of game, and they're going to shoehorn a bunch of bullshit that I don't know like that into this. And they didn't. They handled it with great poise. They gave Pac-Man the most respect I think he's seen ever since the fucking arcade days, and they did it right. So I don't know, man. They've made a lot of right decisions in the past couple years when it comes to, you know, partnering up with different teams, Dark Souls and Dragon Ball Fighters, and you know, the whole bunch of stuff, any of the Arc System Works games.
There you go.
They've been knocking it out of the park. So this new team, Singapore, interesting. Again, 1313, nothing but good things for me for that. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I'm one of the people who never played through Metroid Primes, but I watched my roommate Kyle play through the original Metroid Prime on GameCube. for a long, long time. And I always thought it was cool. I always thought it was a really neat idea. I always was like, oh, maybe I'll play it one day. But by the time I got my own GameCube, there's a million other things to play. I would be excited. I mean, I'm just excited to get a game in that vein again. Yep. And have it on Switch and have it on, yeah, like you're talking about a console I care about and then I want to play things on.
Yeah.
And I don't, for me personally, I don't really care who's making it because I don't have any attachment to what I came before, but it's going to be interesting to see what the general opinion on that is.
Yeah, and you know, we need to see it. Like, that's, to me, the biggest thing is I need to see what this game looks like and the art style and the direction the game is taking. Is it going to be more action-y or is it going to be more exploration and this open thing? How many characters talk in it? You know, how many characters are there to interact with?
Like, yeah.
All these things really matter because the last thing we need is Other M again.
What do you mean? I saw the baby Metroid.
Remember me?
But remember me? Fucking terrible. Number two on the Roper Report. Could it be happening, Tim? Could you finally be getting some Kingdom Hearts 3 news?
There's been a whole bunch of it, man.
A release date.
What do you think you're going to get?
The Kingdom Hearts Twitter account quote tweeted the Disney D23 account when they said Disney D23. The excitement starts now. Greetings from hashtag D23 Expo Japan 18. Wavy hand.
Got it.
Then Kingdom Hearts quote tweeted that tweet and put hashtag little crown and a heart hashtag 3. So Kingdom Hearts 3.
Got it. I like that.
Yeah, you like that?
I do.
What do you think's going to happen? It's this weekend.
New world.
Yeah.
We're going to get a new world. It will be either Monsters, Inc. or Frozen.
Okay. Have those both been rumored / leaked?
Yes. Monsters, Inc. Yes. Yes. Short answer, yes. I imagine this will be Monsters, Inc. world.
Okay.
Finally shown. If I was a betting man, I would say that Frozen is going to be saved for... around America? E3.
Okay.
There's not a D23 this year.
Oh, okay.
It's every other year.
Oh, sorry. My apologies.
I imagine it'll be around E3. It won't be E3 proper, but Square likes to do things like kind of like the week before, a couple days leading in or something. And I think that they'll announce Frozen World with a new trailer with the release date of 2018.
When's this game coming out, Tim?
2018.
When does that get announced?
I just said. That's what I just said. E3, Frozen trailer,
yeah,
with the release date. Okay. This is 2018. That's what I think.
Okay. Sorry, I got hung up on the Frozen part.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to happen. And it could get pushed to March after that.
Okay. You think the announcement will be?
I think the announcement is going to be 2018. Like, there'll be a date that is in 2018, end of 2018, and then chances are it gets pushed to March.
Tim, I got two questions for you from the readers.
What you got?
John writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, with the news of Kingdom Hearts getting some info dropped at D23, do you guys see them bringing Kingdom Hearts to the Switch? Being someone who never played a Kingdom Hearts game, I would love the collection on the Switch with a new one coming sometime later. Thanks all. Have a good weekend.
There's no pattern that can tell us what's going to happen. Kingdom Hearts is... such a weird franchise.
Yeah.
You can watch the episode of Kind of Funny Games Cast where I had Alexa Ray Correa and Jonathan Dornbush try to explain everything to me, a fan. That went about as well as,
as it could, yeah.
But even in addition to just the story being batshit crazy, the releases are batshit crazy, and the amount of consoles these games have been on and why, the pattern is nuts. The main ones have followed the PlayStation lineage. But then, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming to Xbox for the first time, but they didn't get the collection, which is weird. There's a history of Kingdom Hearts on Nintendo handhelds with all the way back to Chain of Memories on the Game Boy Advance, going through the DS. There was one on 3DS, Dream Drop Distance. DS had whatever the hell it was, 358 over 2 or whatever. So I can't imagine they're not considering the Switch. It makes total sense. It'll sell so well. Kingdom Hearts is one of those games that sells very well no matter where you put it. So why not put it everywhere? I'm very surprised that the Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5 plus 2.5 did not come to Xbox. It doesn't make sense to me. That must be either a weird exclusive play, or not exclusive, but like paid thing on Sony's part and Sony Japan stuff, or it's just them being straight up like, yo, there's not enough Xboxes in Japan. Majority of the sales come from Japan, and for that franchise in that area, doing it. I don't know, but even that doesn't make sense to me because I know there's such a big fan base in North America for it. So yeah. I don't know, but will it come to the Switch? We'll see a Kingdom Hearts game on the Switch. We'll see Kingdom Hearts 3. I doubt it.
You think it'll be a collection? Or you think it'll be like a new thing similar to like Dream Drop
Distance? I think I can guarantee there'll be a new thing like Dream Drop Distance
on
the Switch. Will the original collection come? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But at any moment, they can be like, yo, it's coming tomorrow. And then it'd come 3 years from now.
So I want to keep in this D23 region, Tim.
Oh, man, Nintendo and D23.
But I don't want to talk about Kingdom Hearts any longer.
Boo.
Morgan, you're going to like this one. Morgan writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, with Disney's D23 Japan event starting this weekend, we know that there will be a fan event of Kingdom Hearts 3, presumably with some new info. But what I think most people are overlooking is the possibility of seeing Spider-Man PS4. With that being said, how likely do you think it is we get a release date for Spider-Man sometime over the weekend because of this event? Thanks a lot and keep up the good work, guys. Morgan. I think it's incredibly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't want to say zero.
Yeah.
Just never say never.
I think it's interesting you might see something new.
3%.
You might see something new, but I don't think so. That's why I'm giving you a 3% chance of seeing something new.
Yeah.
Release date, no way. This is a very Western American franchise.
Yeah.
I think that's where they know they're going to sell the majority of units. That's where the hype for this is. And I don't think doing it over the weekend in Japan makes any sense.
At D23 Japan, which is, you know, obviously there's everybody loves Disney. There's a fan base over there, but it's definitely not like the main. It's like, New York Comic Con's cool, but like you're gonna make, if you have an announcement, you're doing a San Diego Comic Con. Mm-hmm. If it was up to you,
sure.
And I think it's up to them.
Don't put down New York Comic Con. It's getting bigger every year.
Jefferson.
Number 3. It's an old song and dance, but it looks like we might be even closer to PlayStation Network name changes.
All right.
This is via Push Square. Of course, back at PSX, I interviewed Sean Layden. My first question was like, when the fuck can you change your name? He said the elves are working on it. They're close. And he hopes by PSX 2018 that we wouldn't have to ask this question anymore. Push Square reports that there's a survey going around right now to certain PSN users. They had it forwarded by somebody. It's supposed to be, you know, anonymous.
Certainly, there's a message out to certain users. Do you think, by chance, they've listened to every Beyond and PS I Love You, just found all the bad PSN names and then just
here you go, hey Bong Ripper 69, here you go. And it's basically like, hey, would you be interested in this? Which of course they know, but then as Push Square reports, the survey goes on to propose how PSN name changes would work. According to the questionnaire, you'd be able to change your name multiple times for free, but you'd only be able to do it once every 6 months. This is common practice. Moreover, if you want to change your PSN name back to an older handle, you'd have to contact customer support. Interesting. We'll see. And the survey is very much like, we don't know if this will ever happen, but hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Like this, that, or, you know, it's interesting to see some movement, something there. Someone's working on it. We'll see how close we actually are to it. Number 4, Monster Hunter World is the fastest selling Capcom game ever. This is via IGN. Monster Hunter World has been flying off shelves by all accounts, with 5 million copies shipped in the 3 days following launch. Capcom has also reported that units shipped have just reached the 6 million mark, making it the fastest selling Capcom game to date. And that's just on consoles. The PC version has the potential to inject some momentum into the game's sales figures when it releases later this year. Get on this train, Tim.
Unbelievable.
Get on this train. Come on. You're out there last night killing stuff. It was great. Andrea Renee was playing with us.
Believable. It's not surprising, I don't think, but it's just one of those things.
Really? You don't think it's surprising?
Sorry. Maybe I'm flipping them. It's not unbelievable.
There you go. But it is surprising.
It is surprising.
I'll give you that 100%.
Because
obviously Monster Hunter's had this fan base forever.
Huge fan base. And it's just like, wow. But I didn't think that it would translate this well.
Right.
With their first real foray into a console game of this scope.
Sure.
And man, good for them. This is awesome. I think they did it totally right, being on Xbox and PlayStation and just right out the gate with Japan, with everybody on the same place. Yeah, it's weird not being on Switch with everything we've talked about with the lineage of the franchise. But, I mean, they don't need it. It would definitely help. It'd just make this even bigger for them. But Capcom's fastest selling game ever. I mean, all right, fastest selling, cool. We can create records for anything we want. And this headline could have read 10 different ways based on, you know, whatever it did. But this is very impressive, very cool. And you think back to the Resident Evils, even the big ones, the big selling ones, the fives and sixes. And this is nuts.
I think it's yet another example that falls into the dying light category of, hey, when people come back to work and school after the holidays, they sure have got all these games. They've played all these games. But even if you have a game you haven't played, but it's from the year before, you want something hot and new, especially when you get back into the swing of your life. And I think Dying Light, we always used to point to as, hey, look at that thing. That took the world by storm in a way I don't think it would have if it came out against other stuff. Resident Evil 7, a very similar thing where, don't get me wrong, Resident Evil 7 is an amazing game, but I think more people gave it the time of day just because the timing was so good. I think Monster Hunter World is the exact same situation of like, this is a franchise similar to what we were talking about earlier with Persona, or was it Kingdom Hearts we're using it before?
Metroid.
Where you've heard about this game for a long, long time, and guess what? It's coming out when you're aching for something new to play and a new experience. And we live in an age now where, whether it be Destiny or Fortnite or whatever, there's been enough online multiplayer games that you get the idea of what a game as a service actually is and if you'd want to try it and how you'd want to do it. And this one hit, and yeah, off to the races.
And it sounds like they did it right. I think that's the most important thing. Is the amount of tweets I've seen putting down Destiny, being just like, wow, Destiny, like, look at this. This is how this is done.
Sure.
And granted, they're very different things, and I don't know how much those people I'm looking at played Destiny and how fair of an assessment that is, but I've seen that multiple times from multiple people. So there's something there. They definitely have a hit. I can't believe it got Kevin the way it did.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Kevin keeps talking shit like he's going to shuffle out. This is just a fad he keeps telling me. We're in 3 weeks, we'll be back to playing only PUBG. I'm like, God damn, no, we will not. And
he's still playing Disney Emoji Blitz. So
I know. Yeah, he's so much further than me. Last night playing with Grant, you know, like when I was on the road this past week, Kevin kept playing on his own and has like all this other stuff. I'm like, geez, like playing with everybody last night.
Crazy person, man.
Fascinating. Let's kick it over to Tazon, though. Tazon writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Greg et al., with the success of Monster Hunter World, should Sony will ever try their hand at another Freedom Wars? Should Sony ever try their hand at another Freedom Wars is what he means. Maybe on the PlayStation 4 this time. Or do you think they see that Monster Hunter World is filling a niche in the PlayStation ecosystem and don't want to risk both competing with a game that is such a beloved fan base while creating conflict with Capcom and the risk of a partnership they're currently got going? Have a wonderful day. Tazon. I love Freedom Wars. No, you're never getting more Freedom Wars from these guys. They're not looking at that. I think it's the same way that PlayStation and Xbox look at the success of the Switch, and I do not think that motivates them to go back, for PlayStation to go back to handhelds, for Xbox to give it the time of day. I think that Freedom Wars was great on Vita. Not enough people played it. That totally fucking sucks. I had a great time with it. I think they look at Monster Hunter World and they're like, that is awesome. It is selling incredibly well on our system. We are making money off of it. And I don't think that Capcom would look at them as a full-blown competitor if they were to do it, because obviously it's a franchise that's already existed. I just don't think there's going to be the return on investment. Yeah. Again, what we're talking about, and I think one of the reasons Monster Hunter is hitting right now, the way it's hitting, is the fact that even if you've never played a Monster Hunter, if you've never given it the time of day, you know about Monster Hunter. You know the IP. So when it suddenly comes out and it's getting amazing scores and one of your friends starts to play, you're like, oh, cool, I'll jump into it. Where Freedom Wars 2, Freedom Wars did not get talked to. Freedom Wars 2 right now coming to PlayStation 4 would just be like Gravity Rush 2 coming.
Yep.
Where like, oh, more people would play it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't. It's not going to set the world on fire.
My thing is looking at this question here, I feel like they wouldn't compete at all and they wouldn't fill the niche, and I don't think that anybody would look at it like Sony or Capcom. Any side would be like, oh well, this is performing well, so we're gonna do this. Like they're just, even though the gameplay is similar, Monster Hunter is a name, Freedom Wars is not a name. Having said that, I totally agree with you with the Gravity Rush 2 thing. But I disagree with you that they won't do it. I think there's totally a chance they'll do it. Sony is constantly just like putting games out, and even sometimes I'm like, wow, really? That? And Gravity Rush was an example of it, and we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, even Gravity Rush's small fan base is a larger fan base than Freedom Wars.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Free, like, that's the thing. Is like, I
don't know.
I've talked about it with VR, where I'm like, you know, especially coming off of PSX and stuff, it's cool to see Sony getting weird again, right, and doing stuff. They're not as weird as they were when they put out the Vita or the PS3 era. Yeah. They're much more frugal.
Gravity
they're,
Rush too, and I don't know. The way people talked about Freedom Wars, again, me not playing any of those games.
But that's because you're hanging out with me.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, hanging out at PSX events with our people.
Sure.
Like, and granted, there are people. But still, they're not talking about Gravity Rush.
They were. I think it was the thing that I didn't like Gravity Rush. That, well, I gave it a 7.5 or whatever. Like, it was, it didn't hit what I wanted to, so nobody really talks to me about Gravity Rush. I think that's the only difference. And they figure they believed enough in Gravity Rush to make that remaster, right? And then make the sequel as well. So, like, they put a lot of stuff and assets and work behind it.
I don't think it's likely. I do think another Freedom Wars is possible, even if it was an HD remaster or something. Like, it testing the waters and then a sequel, potentially. Not likely.
Don't worry, I want to look that gift horse in the mouth. I'll take it.
You take
it? I love Freedom Wars. You know that. Come on, get my Panopticon back in there, but I don't think you're going to see it. Number five, From Software is hiring over on their website. Reset Era kicked this my way. And they're specifically looking for people that want to model robots. The responsibilities on the job listing include modeling and texturing characters or robots, carrying out other tasks depending on experience and or life skills.
More saying is fucking
Armored Core.
Freaking out. Yeah, it's Armored Core.
So we had to toss that in there for you more, because every games cast you ask about Armored Core. So there you go.
Here you go, man.
There's a chance.
Here you go.
There's a chance there's an Armored Core coming.
The cores will fly again.
They will be well protected in their armor.
Very, very much so.
God bless you. I hope it happens for you. Did you ever care about Armored Core?
No.
No, me neither.
Very cool idea.
I reviewed them, but
the problem is, for me, mech games have never felt right. The controls still, in modern day, 2018, there still hasn't been a game I played that I'm like, everything nailed I want to do, I can do.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Zone of the Enders. Fucking love that game. Everything about that game is screaming my name. Specifically the second one.
Sure.
I love it. But.
Yeah.
It. Even at the end of the game, I wasn't like feeling like a badass controlling it. And you should feel like a badass controlling a game like that.
Sure.
It's just hard to get all of the different dimensions going. And like, to the speed and the movements, especially when you add shooting to it. There's a lot going on.
I hear. Yeah, never click for me either. But more, we love you. Go get them. Tim?
Yes.
Moore's probably pretty stoked about that Armored Core thing, sure, but it's so far away if it's happening at all. If I wanted to tell him and the rest of the audience what came to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Saw Kevin run in. I had to extend it. Didn't get there. Out today, Dragon Quest Builders on Switch, a game that was great on Vita and on PS4. I can only imagine it's great here. The Seven Deadly Sins, Knights of Britannia on PlayStation 4.
Knights of Britannia?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That one's giving it to you?
Well, Britannia's from Code Geass, but that's
all right. All right. Under Night in Birth EXE latest. Ugh, PlayStation 4, PS3, Vita. Starpoint Gemini Warlords on Xbox One. Overdriven Reloaded Special Edition on Xbox One. Quantic Pinball on Xbox One. Ski Hard Lore's Brook 1978 on Steam.
I'm going to stop you there, Greg. Ski Hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it. When it got announced, I put it in there. I looked at it. I want to say it kind of looked like an updated Ski Free.
Yeah,
but I don't. I don't. Want, I'm not. Anymore. I'm
now
not.
It's just hard.
Well, not just hard. I'm not ready to confirm or deny that. Descenders is out now on Steam and coming exclusively to Xbox Game Preview soon. Rise of Industry launches on Early Access. This is if you're in China. PlayerUnknown's Battleground has its mobile versions launched in China. So go ahead and get on that if you want. New dates for you.
If you're in China, play that shit and write into us for Monday.
Everybody's looking at it being like, oh, this actually looks pretty good. The King of Fighters 97 Global Match comes to PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and Steam in April 2018. Let's kick it over to Deals of the Day for you. GameSpot's got this one. This month's free PlayStation Plus games are now available, but those aren't the only freebies PlayStation Plus subscribers can get right now. Those who claimed the 2D shoot-em-up Mercenary Kings when it first was a free release on PlayStation Plus can now upgrade to the game's Reloaded Edition for no cost.
Very cool.
Lucas wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, deal of the day, the Go games are on sale in Canada. I'm not sure about the US. Hitman, Lara Croft, and Deus Ex are each $1.39 on Android and $2.79 on iOS. Regularly, they're $6.95 each. Side question, which one should I start with? Of course, full disclosure, my wife used to work over there at Square Enix Montreal, so you can take any of my opinions on these games with a grain of salt. Where would you start them?
My thing is, depending on how into it you want to get, if you're like, I'm just going to play one of these, Lara Croft Go is personal favorite. But if you see yourself enjoying that type of game, like the puzzle, figuring out like screen by screen type situation, I would start and do it in chronological order because they're all great games.
They all learn from each other.
But they each add gameplay mechanics that make going back to the other ones afterwards feel a little bit outdated. Mm-hmm. So Hitman is fantastic even nowadays by itself. But I feel once you play Deus Ex, the rest of them kind of feel a little shallow.
Sure. I loved Lara Croft Go. That was my favorite. Hitman got to those points like, I don't know what the fuck you want me to do. And Lara Croft was very much like, ooh, okay, I'm doing this and that. I got to get over there, smash the floor.
They all have really cool aesthetics. I think that Deus Ex is probably my least favorite of the games, but that's just because I didn't really like the look of it.
Yeah.
It's not even so much the world, it's just the look of that game. I liked the more board game look of Hitman Go and Lara Croft Go. I love that art style.
And then your third deal of the day, this was submitted by Tidro1214 to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. He says, deal of the day, 3 days left to get all-you-can-eat pancakes at IHOP for $3.99. I know it's not gaming related, but it's important. Love y'all.
It is important. Does Kevin know?
I don't know. If you go and do this weekend, you get the unlimited pancakes at IHOP. Please send us photos. Tag, of course, me. Tag Tidro, T-E-E-D-R-O, 1214 in your tweet as well. He would love to know that you're making use of that deal of the day. I like that. It's important. He's just saying. He's trying to save you a buck on your flapjacks. Time for reader mail. But first, let me tell you, it's brought to you by Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. You know who I love? Jean-Vive Saint-Ange Miller.
Who's Jean?
No! Jean Vignacchi. You know what she loves? Flowers. You know what I love? Berries. So our sponsor, Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, is the perfect Valentine's Day gift for everyone in my life and your life too. Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that will keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. Right now, my listeners can save 20%. On any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code KF. Andrea Renee loves these so much she guilted me into ordering more for the office. So order now before you forget about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, very close.
Very, very close.
It is Wednesday. You are running out of time and you can keep putting this off like I am, or you can just fucking sit there and commit to it and order the berries and the flowers and be done with it. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. Oh, they spelled that out for you, but I was giving you the more like big brother.
Big, like,
don't mess
this
up.
Real, man.
There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29 featuring beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers and freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Think inside the box. Visit proflowers.com today and enter my code KF at checkout. That's proflowers.com, code KF. Darren writes in.
Darren.
Not Darren Brazil, I bet.
Not Darren Brazil.
To kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, for the past 2 months or so, I've been feeling bored by video games and couldn't get into anything. I felt like maybe I was drifting from the medium. After hearing all the positive words from you guys and other outlets about Celeste, I picked it up. And let me tell you, it had its hooks in me from minute one. It has reminded me why I fell in love with video games in the first place. My question is, have you ever felt on the precipice of falling off video games, but one game pulled you back into it? If so, what was it? Thanks for all you do. Darren in Toronto. You got a story here?
I've never fallen out of games. I feel like I've consistently played and been interested in the same amount of games pretty much my entire life. There was a period I played the most, which was when I think most people play the most, around that middle school, high school era.
Yeah.
PS2, GameCube, Xbox era for me. But I feel like in spite of that, it was Mario Galaxy on the Wii that was the first game I played in a very long time that gave me that kind of Metal Gear Solid moment you always talk about. Or just like a thing where I'm like, what you're talking about with Celeste, that I did actually feel with Celeste recently.
This is why I play games.
This is why I play games.
People are making amazing shit right now. This is awesome.
I feel like I'm playing Super Mario World for the first time. Of like, this is possible. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is so everything's. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's how Celeste is. Again, not that I was on the precipice or anything, but as a game that you play, like, holy shit, people are making amazing crap right now. This is so cool. And like you alluded to, I've never fallen out of games, but the closest, it's a tired story at this point for Kinda Funny fans, sorry, but if you've never heard it before, the closest it ever was is like graduated junior high, went to high school, and at high school homecoming, one of the group of friends, girls, brought a guy who I hadn't seen since junior high, and we were talking. He's like, are you still playing video games? You're still into video games? I'm like yeah, but like nothing's like, and I'd say this at the time because I was a dumb kid, but like what the basic idea was, like nothing was speaking to me. I was playing a bunch of stuff, but like, is this all it is? Is like going to be cartoony platformers, and this is that what video games are? And then I got a PS1 right after that and played Metal Gear, and it was like, oh fuck, like this is the future. Video games are growing up with me. I'm not stuck with, not to be stuck in quotes, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's a limit to what games can do. And that was it for me. But I was never like thinking really about abandoning it.
And I mean, it's funny because, you know, everything I named was the cartoon platformers and things. And oh, those yeah. are games that speak to me.
But sure.
I, Celeste blows me away, and I'm going to keep continuing to talk about how Good. Much I love it because it Cuphead's great, and Cuphead's great for all the reasons I've talked about it, and I love that game to death. Celeste is different, where Celeste, it takes these cartoony platformers and it makes it more. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that was possible for a 2D platformer like this.
Sure.
And it's just like, it's a lot of people compare it to Super Meat Boy, and I feel like that's not fair.
For me, Celeste is comforting. It's tough, and don't get me wrong, it's hard, and it's doing all these different things, but it's comfort food in the way that it makes me feel good to play it. Where, yeah, Super Meat Boy would be, I can't do this right now. I'm putting the controller down and walking away. Cuphead, I know people do that, put the controller walk away.
I've been
away.
Playing a lot of Super Meat Boy, though, over the last week.
Yeah.
And God, the soundtrack stuck in my head constantly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Super Meat Boy is a great game. I'm not trying to take away. I played a lot of that on
the
Xbox.
The version I was reading about, I didn't know because I hadn't played the original one, but they changed the soundtrack because of some weird, like...
I didn't hear about this.
Friend disputes and stuff.
Sure.
And so, I don't know, but the new soundtrack, everyone hates it, but it's definitely stuck
You're like, it's new
head.
To me and I love it.
Yeah.
And good for you.
Yeah.
Ignore all the stuff.
Boop-a-doop, 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 boop-a-doop.
Big old JBR writes in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Tim. When first-party Xbox exclusives like Sea of Thieves and State of Decay come to Xbox Game Pass, won't that hurt the developers? What worries me about Game Pass is how these developers are supposed to make money to fund their games. How much money are developers actually making on these games? I worry that Game Pass will only pump out smaller titles if these developers don't make their expected sales. We'd love to hear your thoughts. P.S. How's the Sprint phone battle going, Tim?"
You'll hear updates on the Sprint phone battle when the battle's over.
There was a brief update in Kind of Funny Morning Show today, if you want to. I would not fret JBR. Mm-hmm. I think that what's happening here is a PlayStation Plus kind of deal to an extent. Now, these are first-party Microsoft-owned games. I'm not sure how much, say, a developer gets of like, hey, we want to put you in Xbox Game Pass. And like, let's say Undead Labs is like, fuck no. Like, no, too bad. We own the IP. We're going to do it. The Xbox is going to be looking at how many people are using and playing that game. And like, so it's going to be the sales that it sells outside of Game Pass, and then also the traction it gets on Game Pass. If it only sells, of its total pie chart, it only sells 5% in the Xbox store, and then the 95% are played on Xbox Game Pass. All those players and all those unique users are going to get dumped into one pot, and they're going to understand how successful this game was and what people thought of it and what the Metacritic was. And all there's so many different ways to critique success that I don't think Microsoft's worried at this juncture with these games about making money on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're worried about, can we get people to play them and can we get them to use Xbox Game Pass?
Yep. And, you know, we've talked this whole Xbox Game Pass thing to death over the last couple, or over the last month, I guess.
Because it's fascinating.
It is, but comparing it to Netflix or Movie Pass or PlayStation Plus and like how the similarities between them all, but also the differences. And I think when you look at Netflix, although they are very different services, you can see the money. You see where the money goes. Like they pay money to make money. And I feel like this, if things go well, and this is the hit that Microsoft expects it to be, and I feel like a lot of us expect it to be,
yeah,
that it's going to benefit the devs.
100%.
I feel like it's in the same way that Netflix is like, hey, stand-up comedy is working really well on this. Guess what? We're going to fund way more stand-up comedy than has ever happened before.
Sure.
I think that could be seen here too. Now, is stand-up comedy the equal to small little titles? Potentially. But you also see on Netflix the original series and the experiments that they take with more artsy things or blockbusters or this or that. So I don't know. I'm very optimistic about this. And I think that it's going to end up being a very wise call financially, not just for Microsoft, but for the devs that Microsoft owns.
You figure this gets more people playing these games, I think, than would have if it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I was going to buy State of Decay 2, obviously. I'm a huge fan. However, I was never going to give Sea of Thieves a real chance outside of a Let's Play or Party mode. But if I'm out there now and I'm already going to get State of Decay 2, and I get State of Decay 2, and I play that through Game Pass, and then it's like, well, there's Sea of Thieves. And I know that because of this influx, similar to PlayStation Plus and Rocket League or whatever, there's more people playing that game. Maybe that gets me to jump in and actually sign up earlier to Game Pass to play this game and give it a shot. I think Sea of Thieves is going to benefit hand over fist in this thing in terms of a player base. Maybe not money driven home, but you would imagine Xbox is rewarding these people on the front end, back end, however they're doing it, of how many people are playing it, this deal we've signed with it, and all these different things.
I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is real, Greg.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's fascinating. We'll see how it all works out. Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need friends to play video games with. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. You all play games together and have a good old time. Today, Joshua Joel Munzo needs help.
JJM.
That's a good one. On Xbox One or PlayStation 4, the username is Joshua Joel Munzo. J. Oh, well, you know, they put it in the descriptions,
Munoz.
Right?
I don't even
know.
Munoz.
Munoz? Munoz? Munzo is what I'm saying.
It's definitely OZ, not CEO, but yeah.
Munoz. Munoz.
Munoz.
Joshua Joel Munoz. It breaks. I didn't, you know, like I blew it. Anyways, I'll get to Joshua. I am a former PC gamer who made the switch to all consoles about a month ago in search of a simpler life. I also never had any friends on PC, and after being a silent member of this community for years, just graduating college and trying to deal with post-college depression and figuring my life out, I could really use some good friends. Currently, I'm playing Monster Hunter and PUBG on the Xbox One X, but would also love to play with some best friends on my PlayStation 4 Pro. Seriously, these things were expensive. I need to justify the cost. My username is Joshua Joel Munoz. Munoz. Munoz? You say it.
Nikki Minaj.
I fucking hate you. I'm literally... What? Munoz, says Joey Noel in the background. On literally every platform, social network, what have you. Just Google me. I'm guaranteed to pop up. Thanks. And I'll be seeing you guys at my first ever Kind of Funny event, Kind of Funny Prom.
Oh, yeah.
June 30th in San Francisco.
Details to come.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
With the details?
Yeah, I know they're coming.
March.
I know.
We said March.
I know. Chill out, man.
You should get on that, though.
Jeez, you should get on that, I think.
Yeah. We're on it.
I know, we're on it. Tim?
Yeah.
Time for one of those rotating segments.
Okay.
What are you going to play this weekend?
What am I going to play this weekend?
You're doing all these indie things at the sleepover. What does the sleepover entail?
That's
what I'm
gonna play. It's not a sleepover. It just entails about five of my friends coming over, and we're just going to play a bunch of games and drink. It's going to be fun.
I got you.
Yeah, Gia's going out.
I was going to say, Gia can't be there. A boy's night in.
She could be there, but...
Well, she won't want to be there. She doesn't want to be there.
It's one of those things. I'm going to text my upstairs neighbors and be like, hey, guys.
We're getting loud.
We're about to play a bunch of indie video games. And if you hear a lot of yelping, because you know me. You guys know me. You've heard me. There's going to be a lot of the Tim scream. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. We're going to play like all the games I said earlier.
Yep.
Little Nidhogg 2, Gang Beast, Star Wall. I want to give Windjammers a shot.
Ooh.
Haven't played that yet. What am I missing? Am I missing some?
Stickmold?
Stickmold could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screen sheets.
Yeah, you know what?
They didn't play well for a Let's Play,
but
we discovered,
fun,
but people like playing it.
Yeah. And like that could harken back to our old GoldenEye days.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Play together. Yeah, that should be fun. And then, of course, the standards, Mario Kart and Smash.
Sure.
But I'm trying to avoid that as much as possible.
Get these kids some new blood.
I'm trying to get them that new, you know what I mean?
Okay.
What are you going to play?
Monster Hunter. I'm boring.
Yeah.
I asked Jenna ahead of this week. I was like, so for real. Like, I finally got back and I'm like, for real. I just need to binge Monster Hunter because it's killing me. And she's like, fine, but we need to bike ride to brunch. I'm like, of course, we do that every weekend. I love it very much. We have two dinners this weekend. I'm like, yeah, of course. I knew those were there, locked in. And then I added in, I need to clean. The house is not to my specifications of cleanliness right now. Mm. So there's that. But outside of that, it'll just be Monster Hunter. Although, I did remember a wrinkle. She's like, do you want to go to the park and read comics this weekend? Because we do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, usually, but Monster... And then I was like, oh, fuck. I'm way behind on that thing. I wanted to read all the Invincibles before the final one comes out on Wednesday. That's a lot of comics to try to plow through. I could do it. I mean, I won't, but I could.
You can't.
If I really wanted to, I could.
Impossible. That's so much.
I know.
That is insane. Even Kevin, who is like, he just absorbs information. I don't think he could do it.
The main problem is just free time, and I want to play Monster.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I also am a little worried about my free time as well. I forgot what I'm doing tomorrow, but there was something. Oh, yeah, I just said it. The guys are coming up.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, I am working on a hype trailer that should be released on Monday, hyping up something that
really?
Is happening on Gamescast.
Fuck.
Yeah.
We have the other trailer dropping on Monday, too.
Oh, fuck.
It's a lot of trailers for Monday.
On Tuesday, then.
Okay, that's
no worry at all.
All right,
gives me another day.
Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong
and tell us
what we screwed up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. Tim,
yes.
What did we screw up today? I felt like I felt like I extended that nicely
to
get you where you needed to be.
That.
No problem.
Let's
I got you.
See.
I'm drawing another Superman symbol, if you're wondering at home. If you're an audio listener, you probably don't know that I doodle once I kick it over. It's a good way to unwind. You know what I mean? My brain's been on fire trying to keep the show on the road. I'm trying not to think about all the work we have to do for this PSVR show. Community town hall.
Kebab says at the end of a couple of them, not a year wrong. Just want to congratulate the guys on having no actual year wrongs today.
Hey! A perfect game! I'm not sure if we ever had one before.
Oh, we've had a couple.
Okay.
But I'm on the
but show. It's when people usually editorialize or whatever. Yeah, you come in, you say puff pieces. You don't say anything.
I don't say anything real. I don't got none of that good shit. I ain't telling the people that not everybody loves everybody's golf.
We'll be back, of course, Monday. Your host will be Tim. But if you didn't know.
I'm hosting?
With me.
Oh, okay.
Your co-host.
Got it. Okay.
Your co-host on Monday.
Got it. Yeah.
If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. If you think we're doing a good job, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck or more. Every little bit helps. And remember, that buck unlocks the PlayStation VR show for you, which will be going live sometime in February. When? Who knows? You gotta stay. But very soon you'll know when. Until next time, have a lovely weekend. And no, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
I'm watching 50 Shades tonight.
Oh, the new
review one? On Monday. Get hyped, son.
Is it? It's like, because that's your anniversary.
Yeah.
Well,
and my anniversary is the 12th, but it's like.
But the 50 Shades is the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bachelor Monday is our anniversary.
So. All right. God, bye, guys. And gals.